Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's Follow-Up Friday, where we delve a little deeper into some interesting things that came up briefly during the week. Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to take your phone calls, comparing the education systems in your country of origin, if you are an immigrant, to the education system you found here in the New York area. You can call and get in line for that right now, 212-433-WNYC. We want to hear from immigrants. We want to hear from immigrants from all over the world. Tell us, and we'll replay a clip of President Obama from earlier in the week in a minute, lauding the South Korean school system. Were things really better in South Korea? Were things better wherever you came from? Compare the education system where you came from to the one you found here for yourself or your children. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll put you on the air in just a couple of minutes. But yesterday we talked about bridge tolls and MTA fare hikes with Pete Donahue, the transportation reporter for the New York Daily News. We had a caller from Staten Island who voiced a belief shared by many New Yorkers. The only problem, it's a myth.
The problem that I have with the tolls on the bridges is that's something that's not going to go away. Case in point, the Verrazano bridge, which was supposed to be paid for in full within 5 years with the toll, and now we're paying $10 just to go over the bridge every day.
So in reply to that, Miss from In the City wrote on our website, the last caller was just repeating the Verrazano urban legend. Verrazano was never going to be free. Now, that comment included a link to a February article in the Staten Island Advance, which completely and thoroughly destroyed the myth of a free drive over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. And although many New Yorkers, and Staten Island natives in particular, have been repeating this urban legend since the bridge was constructed in 1964, Maura Yates reported in the Advance that the MTA had no such plans. It says Joyce Mulvaney, a spokeswoman for MTA Bridges and Tunnels, said, "We have searched our archive and can find no documentation for the statement, and given the structure of our bonds as backed by toll revenue, it doesn't make sense that anyone would make such a statement now or then." So where did this urban legend come from? Well, former congressman and Staten Island borough president Guy Molinari had a theory. Local politicians might have made some unofficial promises to Staten Island residents in order to make them more amenable to bridge construction. Quote, they were off-the-record kinds of comments that once the bridge was paid off, there would be no further tolls, said Molinari. All that was designed to overcome the resistance and the objections that were raised over the construction of the bridge. And with the MTA considering raising the toll to $13, the myth of a free drive over the Verrazano Bridge sounds more appealing than ever, but it is ever more a myth. So we thought we would clear that up for Follow-Up Friday. We thank the Staten Island Advance for their digging through the historical records, and we thank our listener, Miss from In the City, for providing us that link. And continuing with our It's Not Just Friday, It's Follow-Up Friday items, we had the school's chancellor, Joel Klein, on the show yesterday and asked him about some of the things that President Obama said in his speech on education. And we want to follow up on this.
Our children spend over a month less in school than children in South Korea every year. That's no way to prepare them for a 21st century economy. That's why I'm calling for us not only to expand effective after-school programs, but to rethink the school day to incorporate more time, whether during the summer or through expanded day programs for children who need it. I know longer school days and school years are not wildly popular ideas, not with Malia and Sasha, not in my family, and probably not in yours. But the challenges of a new century demand more time in the classroom. They can do that in South Korea. We can do it right here in the United States of America.
So, any South Korean immigrants listening, we want to hear from parents or students from anywhere who have experience with schools in one country and then schools here. Longer school day, longer school year, better education, more science and math. How about those? Are those urban legends? 212-433-WNYC. All our lines are already full. And George in Manhattan. George, hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. Where'd you come from originally?
I was born in Zimbabwe when it was Rhodesia.
Uh-huh.
And I moved here to Brentwood, Long Island in the middle of seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I was at an 11th grade level. But the schooling over there had been a very British, because it had been a British colony. So,
what did they do differently, most of all?
There was a much stricter emphasis on doing your work. When I got here, it was the middle of the 70s. And it was, everybody was wearing T-shirts and I had the school uniform and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I came from something that was very strict
right.
to something where there was a lot of freedom.
George, thank you very much. Cecilia in Princeton, who grew up in Japan. Is that right, Cecilia?
Yes, I did.
And?
And what I wanted to say was all my siblings and myself, we attended grammar school in Japan. And coming here, I came here as a seventh grader, that the math level specifically was much lower here in this country than what I was learning in Japan. There was also math enrichment courses after school. And it, I don't know if it caused this or not, but all my siblings, we ended up getting degrees in engineering, all six of us. All five of us went on to postgraduate work.
Would you say one was better than the other?
I think so. I mean, I think the emphasis now, I have kids now in middle school and high school. There's just too much homework, I think, and not as much learning happening in the schools. I think in Japan, we were doing math, and all the learning was more intense. We had more time, more months during the school year, mm-hmm. less homework.
Less homework.
Yeah.
Why? Because the drills in school were more effective?
Yes. Because I think that in the schools right now, they do a lot more lecturing and less hands-on,
mm-hmm.
more talking to the students, and then they try to have the kids learn more when they get home.
Yeah,
But when we were in the classroom in Japan, it was just constant drilling.
More school, less homework. Cecilia, thank you very much. Here's Haiwan in Jersey City, who's originally from South Korea. Haiwan, thanks for calling.
Hi.
So were you surprised to hear the president talking about South Korea there this week?
I was very surprised.
Did he get it right?
Oh, well, but probably the school education, timing-wise, they don't stay in the school not very long. However, they spend way more time at the after-school programs.
After-school programs? Do you mean
like a private center.
Right. So
learning center.
Tutoring and things like that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But it's not a longer school day and a longer school year, which is the specific statement that the president made about South Korea.
Oh, but I don't think it's not only timing-wise. The children spend more time at the school. Mm-hmm. It is more like focus on I was a student teacher at uptown in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
But they don't take not much. Recess time. However, the timing-wise, the study time is very short. In order to get into the study time in uptown schools, they don't spend... sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's okay. So you went to school there. You grew up there, went to school there. Now you teach here.
Yeah, I was a student teacher. I didn't teach as a head teacher.
So do you have an opinion as to which school system is more effective?
The school system, I prefer Korean.
Because?
Because we learn a lot from school.
Yeah. Hi, Juan. Thank you very much. Call us again.
Bye.
And Tatiana in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tatiana.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd love to listen to you. I grew up in Serbia. I went to school there in Croatia. This is former Yugoslavia, for those who don't know. And then finished my high school education and college here. And now I have a kid who's a first grader who's going to go to school here. And definitely, I think I don't think the longer school are. I think kids spend a lot of time in school, and they have so much homework here. And I think the level of education, especially low-grade education, like first to eighth maybe, is much, I don't think they learn more by staying in school less. I think it's we had less, we had maybe, I would say, we had two shifts, morning and afternoon, like the second, you know, like a group of people would go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had maybe 4 or 5 hours of school tops.
Mm-hmm.
And we studied we were really accountable. We had to be accountable, not just to show up, but to do really well, work really hard. Study. It was not just multiple choice questions. It was essay questions, and the professor or teacher you'd go like in front of the class and be responsible for what you studied and to know your stuff.
You think that's so different from here today?
I think it's kids are less. I think they get rewarded for knowing much less and doing less, especially in lower grades. I think the higher education here is better because it's more focused. I can tell you I went to nursing school. This is a high school program in Europe, and we were studying Latin there. I had 2 years of Latin. I could actually write and read and speak in Latin. So,
in Serbia?
Yeah, in Croatia at the time, actually.
In Croatia.
I was in boarding school there.
Tatiana, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And Carl on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I went to school in Sweden, and I don't think we had any homework until sort of fifth or sixth grade. And we didn't get any grades either. And the difference I notice is more, and I didn't see it then, but I see it now, is a focus on lifelong learning. It's less about learning for a test or to pass whatever regents, but to see learning as something that continuous, enjoyable, and something positive. And I'm afraid that this studying for the tests or education for tests makes education into something that it perhaps should not be.
Yeah, but that's seen as a little bit too touchy-feely for today's global economy by a lot of people. You think it is?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But that's the difference.
The difference.
Carl, thank you very much. Jessica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Where are you from? Hi, Jessica. Where'd you grow up?
I'm from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
I came here when I was 12, 13, and I started seventh grade here without knowing any English.
That must have been a shock.
Oh, yeah. But I had only finished fifth grade in Brazil because the times of the years start are different. And so when I started, I remember I couldn't, I didn't know any English, so I couldn't get any grades. But in math, I would always get 100. I would know everything because I had already learned stuff. So the kids thought I was like some kind of genius just because I got everything right, and the teachers.
So do you think they just did things at different ages, or do you think the education system was actually better there, at least for math?
I think it was better. And the thing is, the funny thing is it starts early in the morning, but it ends at noon, the education system in Brazil. It doesn't
uh-huh.
end at 3.
Uh-huh.
So
a lot of homework?
I don't remember really having a lot of homework. I've been here for a while now, but yeah, I don't know if that is really the reason. I mean, it's funny, but it took me like a year to actually learn English and eventually get grades on the other subjects.
Right.
So,
Jessica, thank you very much. And Mohammed in Hastings-on-Hudson. Hi, Mohammed. You're on WNYC.
Yeah, how you doing? Good morning, Bob. Yes, I was driving here. I just made it home, and I called you, and somebody answered. Anyway, when I got late 70 to this country, and I'm very happy I ended up from France, came here, and from Tunisia, I went to France to have education, and after I ended up here, and I have 5 kids, beautiful family, and when my two first daughter go to school, and I was looking to what they doing, and I keep screaming at them when I do the homework, they learning nothing.
They're learning nothing. You're saying you have 5 kids here in this country.
5 kids go to school in Hastings.
And they're coming home, and their homework is a joke.
Yes, because when I work with them, the homework is nothing compared to what I went to school. I mean, really, we go to school all day, 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon. You go home, eat, and come back. You don't get nothing from the school.
Mohammed, thank you very much. And that's it. Well, we see how a lot of people perceive the school systems in lots of different countries all over the world where they grew up as more rigorous than what they found here. Wow. So thanks a lot to all of you for all your calls during that segment and all through this week. Thanks a lot for listening. Keep posting your uncommon economic indicators to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Nadia Zonis produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor. And that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls with intern help today from Kira Feldman. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Brian Lehrer.